Mark Twain once said, "It's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me, it's the things that I do understand." And I think this parable of Jesus falls into the latter category, doesn't it? It's straightforward enough, but it is, like most teachings of Jesus, ones which cannot leave us complacent, but which should leave us thinking, maybe leave us uncomfortable in some way. The meaning of the parable is clear enough. Jesus explains it to the disciples. The farmer in the parable is God. The seed is the word of God that goes out. And the soil is the hearts and the lives of people. And it is your heart and my heart. There are the four different types of soil. In each case, the sower is the same. The seed is the same. The only variable is the soils, the different kinds of soils, the varying degrees to which we allow God's word to enter into our hearts and lives and to germinate and to grow there. The extent to which we allow God and the teaching of the scripture to penetrate our lives. Firstly, there is the pathway, the road, and there the soil is hard, it's impenetrable. The seed cannot penetrate at all, and very quickly it is carried away by the birds. And it's easy to be hardened to the word of God in our lives, isn't it? If we want nothing to do with God, we simply block God's message from entering our minds. We stay away from anything to do with God and with faith. We erect a barrier to keep the things of God out. And God won't force his way through. God waits for us. God is a gentleman who waits for us to invite him in. As Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will open the door and will come in." But until that point, we have the choice, and the law is not going to gate crash our lives. The second category is the person who responds to Jesus' message enthusiastically, but then soon falls away. The seed that begins to germinate but strikes hard rock underneath and shrivels up. I think this person is a bit like Mr. Pliable in Pilgrim's Progress. This is the person who overpromises and underdelivers. This person allows God's word into their mind, because that is where God's word enters in our lives, doesn't it? Through our mind. The problem with this type of person is that is as far as it goes. It stays in one's mind, in one's head, and doesn't go any further than that. And such people don't necessarily forget God's word. They just don't allow it to impact their lives at all. It doesn't make that very important 18-inch journey from up here in their mind down to the heart. It's simply information, like the Times Table or the names of King Henry's wives. It's information that really doesn't have any impact on people's lives. And then there is the third type of soil. Here the soil is deeper and the seed begins to grow well. And this is a person who not only receives that word, but allows it to germinate and to take root and to begin to influence their life, their attitudes and behavior. I think of what is said of Mary, the mother of Jesus, after the mind-boggling events of the birth of Jesus. We read these words: Mary remembered all these things and pondered them in her heart. She remembered them, these events, they were in her mind, but they also went deeper down into her heart. And she pondered and reflected on them and thought deeply about them. And so here it's not just a knowledge of the mind, it's about something deeper, something that impacts the way that we live, impacts our feelings and the desires deep within us. So the Bible needs to become more than simply a book of information. It needs to become a book of formation, forming and shaping our lives. It needs to become for us a love letter that touches and moves us. If you receive a letter from the bank telling you about some change in their policies, that letter is only on the level of information. But if you receive a letter from a beloved family member, especially one with whom you haven't had contact perhaps for a long time, it's very different, isn't it? The words in that letter are not mere words. They are feelings that reach out from that person's heart to your heart. And that is how we should view God's word. We need to realize that this is not just a book of history, although it is that, but it is much more than that. It's not just a book of information, it's a love letter from God. And through it, God's heart is reaching out to your heart and mine. Earlier we saw that video of God's letter to us, as it were, God's love letter through Scripture and those verses of Scripture. Those words are not just conveying information. They are conveying God's deep and passionate feelings and love for you and me. But Jesus warns us that in the world there are many other things that also seek our attention and our affection and our allegiance. They are those weeds and the thorns that he speaks about, that seek to stifle that plant, the concerns and the temptations of the world. They too seek our attention and our allegiance. And they may not always be bad things in themselves, but if they are not the very best that God wants for us, then they are drawing us away from what God really wants for us. A mother was explaining to her daughter the reality of the struggle that we have within life between right and wrong, between good and bad, or between the good and the better and the best. And she explained to her daughter that it's like having two types of dogs within us. The one is wild and destructive, the other is obedient and submissive and faithful. And the child asked the question, "Mom, which one is stronger?" And the mother replies, "The one that we feed the most." Do we feed the good seed, or do we feed the weeds and the thorns, which get our priority, our attention, and our affection? And then finally, there is the soil that receives the seed and allows it to grow unhindered and to produce a rich harvest. That is the person, says Jesus, where the word of God has entered the heart as well as the mind. But there is one more vital step here, and that is acting on those feelings within the heart. Because there are still the other feelings and attractions, the weeds and the thorns. And it's a question of which ones are going to take precedence. Is the will strong enough to make the right choices? And so, in effect, there are three vital elements: the mind, the heart, and the will, that deepest part of us. And each one needs to play its part if the seed of God's word is going to produce a harvest. It's a bit like a relationship with someone. The first time that I noticed Angela many years ago, I registered in my mind that here was a girl with many good qualities. The facts were there. They were there in my mind. But it needed to go further than that if I was going to develop a relationship. It needed to touch my heart, my emotions. I needed to be moved within. But if this relationship was going to end in marriage and a long-term relationship, there was another step that was necessary. I needed, by an act of the will, to commit myself to her. I needed to stand at the altar with her and say, I will, I do, I take you for better, for worse. My mind, my heart, and my will in committing myself to her. As Eliza Doolittle says to her suitor in My Fair Lady, don't talk of love, show me. Don't just talk of love, show me. Let me finish with maybe a practical example of what I'm talking about in terms of the way in which we receive and act on God's word. Let's take the word spoken often through Scripture that I must forgive those who have sinned against me. I know those words in my mind, but that may be as far as it goes. I may think to myself, well, that's a nice sentiment, but it's very unrealistic. Does the Lord really know how badly I've been hurt? Does the Lord know that this other person hasn't even asked for forgiveness? And so it may just remain a theoretical concept in my mind. But if I sincerely desire to obey that instruction in Scripture, I need to allow it to touch my heart. I need to take it to heart as an instruction from the one who himself forgave, the one who forgave the executioners who put him on the cross, the one who has graciously forgiven my sin. And then, as an act of my will, I need to offer forgiveness to the other person, to ask the Lord to change my heart, to change my feelings of resentment into feelings of goodwill towards the other person, to stop talking to everybody about this person and what they have done for one done to me. To pray for the one who has wronged me. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house upon rock. The wind and the storm came, but that house stood firm." Like a life built on obedience to God's word. Or in terms of this parable, whoever hears and receives my word, says Jesus in effect, and puts into practice is like good, soft, receptive soil, which received the seed, allowed it to take root and to grow and to produce a rich harvest in God's kingdom. May that be true of you and me. Amen.